Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm James D'Amato, your Game Master. This week, we're continuing our Feng Shui 2 series with Chris Sims. Feng Shui 2 is available now on Kickstarter, and it funded 20 minutes after it went up, so you don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to get this game. All you should be thinking about is how good this game is going to be. The original Feng Shui is my favorite role-playing system of all time. It's the role-playing system that inspired me to play other role-playing systems. It introduced me to story gaming and gave me the first combat experience that I would actually describe as fast-paced. Since the original Feng Shui was such a revelation to me, I was incredibly nervous and excited about the new edition. Thankfully, the new edition doesn't change what didn't need fixing. I really liked the core mechanic for Feng Shui, and it stayed the same. It allows for tremendous successes and horrifying failures. This allows characters to be strong and competent most of the time, while still feeling vulnerable throughout the game. It also kept Feng Shui's initiative system, which is one of my favorite parts of the old game, and what I used to pitch the system to so many people. The areas where Feng Shui did change made it a more modern game that's a lot more streamlined, and that's definitely saying something in a system that is as streamlined as Feng Shui. First off, character creation is much shorter. As I explained in the episode, Feng Shui 2 has a lot fewer stats. The old system had stats, which each had individual substats. That's sort of how games worked in the 90s, but in the modern age it feels a little bit cluttered and unnecessary. Theoretically, those substats allowed for more customization, but the customization in the original Feng Shui didn't actually make that much of a difference on the character. The really important choices you were making were in the character's personality, and the sorts of actions they've made in-game. Being able to change a few numbers around didn't really make a difference to any of that, so Laws scrapped it. All you have to do is pick your action movie archetype and you're good to go. As the game goes on, you can add more nuance to a character through advancement. And speaking of advancement, advancement in the new Feng Shui 2 is a lot simpler. You're choosing between adding a new shtick and increasing a number. Things changed on the GM side a lot as well. Bosses are way easier to manage. The game scraps unnecessary detail in favor of creativity, allowing GMs to just simply say whatever cool thing they want their boss to do and then roll for it. It keeps things fair for the players, but doesn't constrain you to playing by their rules. If you want to have multiple bosses in one fight, you don't need to juggle six different special abilities. They simply do what they need to do. The setting also changed for Feng Shui 2, but I'll speak more about that next week. For now, let's get to the show. And welcome back to our second episode of Feng Shui 2. Let's get reacquainted with these characters, learn a little bit more about them. First up, Kat Murphy.
Hey, James.
Kat, Angela has been Action Angel Lala for 2 years now.
2 whole years, yep.
What was her first solo case like?
Oh, geez.
That's got to be very different than your first case overall.
Yeah, Action Angel Lala's main thing involves the different like school districts in New York City that are all themed around certain type of like poisonous flowers.
Yeah, as we all know, that's how New York works.
Yep. And
PS 119.
Basically, like, negative feelings affect students in bad ways, and she has to battle through different things like that, learning, teaching positive messages to children in the surrounding environs.
Okay, so clearly her first school was a Catholic school known as Monkshood or Wolfsbane.
Wolfsbane, yes.
So what did the monster she fought in that school look like?
So that introduced her to her like recurring nemesis,
mm-hmm.
Whose name is I guess Belladonna, who is another young girl around her age who wears like purple and blue and is dark and mysterious and has really cool long hair, and she was making kids feel like guilty about thoughts that they were having,
mm-hmm.
that they were like told weren't correct thoughts to have. Even little things like thinking other people didn't look nice today. And they're like, no, I know that everyone's, we're supposed to be body positive. It's bad that I think like that.
Yeah, people totally thought like that in the 90s.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. Action Angel Lala had to teach that it was like experiences and the things that you do and what you think right after that first thought that determines who you are, not the initial things, and that, like, the whole Catholic guilt thing is right. Kind of bunk. Yep.
Very cool. Very cool. Let's move on to our next hero, Tommy Euphrates.
Tommy Euphrates.
Played by the incomparable.
There you go.
I use that descriptor for you a lot, John Patrick Cohen. John, Tommy Euphrates has since opened up a local karate dojo.
Yes, the Cobra Kai dojo.
The Cobra Kai dojo. What is your local commercial like that you obviously produced?
So, Tommy insists on directing the commercial, producing the commercial, and writing and starring in the commercial himself.
Yeah.
He's getting some serious feedback from like the TV stations that he's like buying the commercial space for. They're like, no, I mean, you're spending the money, have a director, have someone handle the script. But there's a lot of shots of just like Tommy with his back to the camera, like spinning real quick to like address the camera face on with some sort of karate pose. And it's all aimed at kids, which again, they were like, don't do this. Don't aim it at kids. Like aim it at parents. They're the ones that spend the money. But it's like, are you getting harassed at school? Want to show that bully what's what? You know, come to the Cobra Kai dojo and learn how to take your power back. He's also got one of his greatest pupils, Johnny Lawrence, is also in the commercial with him, teaching kids how to assert power at school and be the toughest kid at their school. This is all just like pre the Karate Kid. It's just like the ramp up of like how it gets to be this sort of reasonable thing that gets to be completely unreasonable.
Yeah, like you see the paramilitary stirrings of this on the way.
Very much so. And it's very like it's very just like scary if it was taken the wrong way, and you can tell it's going to be taken the wrong way.
Should it continue along this path. And finally, we move on to our special guest for this series of episodes, Chris Sims. Chris, welcome back.
What's up? I am thrilled to be here. Having a lot of fun.
Excellent. Awesome.
It sounded like I was not serious, but I was 100%
he's
serious.
Yeah, we're not sure we believe you, Chris.
He's reading it from like a script that we've written for him. Like, yeah. You say you are having fun and you're glad to be here.
Yeah. We do have somebody with Chris right now who does have a gun to him. Mm-hmm. But even that, Chris is sort of bored and disinterested with.
This cups of coffee I had at breakfast, they're starting to wear off. It's later in the day.
Yeah.
I am very present for this.
I have to thank you so much for taking time off from researching your new comic. For those who don't know, Chris right now is riding a skateboard around South Carolina solving crimes.
Mm. Yeah, but I've been doing that. That's not for the comic. That's what I do as a hobby.
Chris, let's turn our focus to your character for this series, which is, again, Inspector Jackie of the Hong Kong Police Force. As we all know from the last game, Inspector Jackie, in addition to being one of the best police inspectors that ever was, is also an avid treasure hunter. And one of his last treasure hunting campaigns led to the destruction of his apartment. How did that go down?
It was a real hassle. You remember that his first treasure hunting experience came from a museum robbery.
Indeed.
But this one actually came from his work as a cop. He was interrogating a member of one of the many gangs that he has dealt with. Seems like there's a new one every year that gives him trouble with a lot of the same members, just with different combinations of mustaches and long hair. And one of them gave up that the leader of the Tong or the Triad was searching for a lost pirate treasure that had sunk off the coast of Hong Kong. So of course Jackie wanted to recover that before that money could be used for evil purposes like drugs. And in the scuffle, he was doing a lot of research. They followed him home from the library, and a brawl broke out at his house with a very large gentleman who ended up putting Inspector Jackie through every wall in his home before he was eventually defeated with a refrigerator door.
It's so funny because that guy works for a lot of those gangs. It feels like he has a scene in almost every year of your life.
I think they're all brothers. I think it's all
yeah, one family. They grow strong.
Okay. Let's resume, and I believe we were actually in the middle of initiative, which will give me a chance to talk about a little bit how Feng Shui has changed since its last incarnation. Keep in mind, there are decades separating this game from the version that we're playing right now. And in that time, we have lost quite a few stats. Feng Shui used to have, I believe, about 4 core stats. I think maybe fewer than 4. And each one had 3 substats. Mm. Now, the only important numbers that you need to know are your primary attack, which is either martial arts, guns, or sorcery, your fortune, your toughness, defense, and speed. And in true feng shui fashion, they all have to do with fighting.
Yep.
So you guys have rolled your initiative, and we are starting on shot 10, which I believe is Jackie.
What is the environment? I know that we're in, we're on a raised level on kind of a mezzanine overlooking the big core atrium of the building, but what type of setting are we in?
So you guys have moved up to about the third floor. On your floor, you are in a mall, and you're surrounded by a few shops. There's a sporting goods store that's right near you. There is a China shop, and there is a pet store near you as well. And you know, just from having been around here enough, because your tailor and dry cleaner is here, you know that the level right above you, where these Cobra forces are coming from, is going to be an indoor water park that is currently under construction.
The closest thing near me is the China shop, so I am going to grab that. They have a nice display of serving trays and plates, you know, to catch the shopper's eye and lure them in to spend a lot of money on teapots and teacups. So I am going to grab a short stack of those plates and kind of whip around. And since we're still a good distance away, since they just arrived on the floor, I'm going to start flinging these heavy china plates directly at the Cobra soldiers' heads using my martial arts powers.
Excellent, excellent. To do that, you'll need to make a roll, adding your martial arts stat, and tell me how many of these Cobra soldiers you're targeting.
How many are there in the group?
I'm going to say that have just come down the stairs right now, there are 3. But you can tell there are more where that came from.
Okay, I'm going to just grab 2 plates so I can do like one after the other real quick. So I'm just going to take out the first 2 if I can, or target the first 2 if I can.
All right, go for it.
All right, so that's my negative die is a 3, my positive die is a 5, so that's 2. Martial arts skill is a 15, so that's a 17 total.
Excellent. Your plates, very heavy plates. They appear to be weighted in the bottom so that they don't move around on a tablecloth or anything. Sail through the air and strike them on the side of their helmets, whirling the helmets around so that they can't see where they're going. They immediately knock into each other and fall down. The third Cobra soldier on the stairs begins to raise his weapon as it is now Tommy's turn.
So Tommy, who's on the other side of Jackie, the nearest thing to him is the pet store. So he sees that Cobra guy raising his weapon at Jackie, and he kind of like, you know, hoots and hollers and like tries to get his attention. And then he ducks into the pet store. He like hurriedly like looks around the pet store to like see what he can use as an improvised weapon, and then this will be a one shot action. And then his eyes land on a crate that just has a big sign on it that says "Warning: Poisonous Snakes." And he and he like looks up at the camera and like lowers his aviators. That's the end of that one shot.
Oh, all right. So. At the end of that action, the Cobra soldier raises his gun, and I'll point out, this is a rifle, but it's not a normal-looking assault rifle or anything that would resemble a gun except for the 90s X-Men universe. It is this elaborate, gigantic monstrosity that looks like a futuristic laser pistol, which... Jackie, you have a lot of experiences with triads and guns, and you've seen automatic weapons before, but it's only with these goddamn people that you have to deal with these ridiculous laser weapons. And a blast shoots out at you. What is your defense?
My defense is 14.
All right. So this guy was lucky enough to roll a 15. So there is a damage of 7 that is coming at you.
Oof.
One thing to be aware in feng shui as or feng shui, I probably talked about that in the introduction, so I won't even bother correcting myself right now. One thing to be aware of in feng shui is that damage coming at you is always reduced by your toughness.
Okay, so I have a toughness of 7.
So you take no damage from this attack, but you are struck by it. A red beam of energy sails through the air, and you dive quickly out of the way. But as you're diving, the beam strikes your feet, and the wings that have been put on your feet by Action Angel Lala disintegrate. Stop right there! You're going to be rounded up with the others. Now it is Angie's turn.
So how many mooks are there?
So there is right now just the one in front of you active, but you can also hear others moving down the stairs pretty hurriedly as that laser weapon went off. And in fact, you can see across the atrium, there are other Cobra soldiers that are coming down from the water park area. One of the great things about the layout of this water park is there is a tremendous glass ceiling on your level that is the floor of the open area of the water park. So you can see all of the Cobra soldiers milling about above your head.
Oh, cool. Okay, then I think I'm going to do my Fire Blast reskin. So after he says that he's going to hurt us up, I'm like, you might be trying to hurt us like cattle, but I'm as stubborn and as strong as the American buffalo. Beautiful, bull-rushing body avalanche. And she, like, does, like, the rock horns on her forehead and then pulls back into, like, a football hike stance and then starts just running at him and does, like, a full-on wrestling body of avalanche intending to slam through the guy. So hopefully this works. 15 on sorcery?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to spend a magic, and any time that this gives me an even result, I take out an additional mook.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. So one, just one extra, so 2.
So you rush this guy. The horns that you made with your fingers form into beautiful pink horns that are made out of illuminated magical energy. And they strike him, and gold Sakura Blossom sparks fly out of it. And it drives him back up the stairs. And there's another mook that's rounding the corner just as he's being jettisoned up. And they slam together, and they fall out unconscious. At that time, you see there are 3 Cobra soldiers that rappel down the sides of the atrium. And they're now between Angela, Jackie, and Tommy. Tommy, it's your move.
Okay, so wait, where are these guys? Because I'm still in the pet store.
So you're in the pet store right now.
Yeah.
These guys have basically rappelled down the atrium over the railing to the area right in front of the stores.
Okay. So they're not on the rappel. They're landed. They're on the ground.
Yeah, they've landed. They've done a 3-point landing.
Okay, great. I burst out of the pet store with 2 handfuls of poisonous snakes, and I'm just twirling them, twirling them around.
These snakes are furious.
Oh, yeah, they're pissed off, but I'm still, like, spinning them so fast, and I just let both handfuls go, and I'm going to be targeting 2 of these guys.
Okay.
And this is technically an improvised weapon.
That is absolutely an improvised weapon.
So it's 14 of my martial arts to them.
The snakes strike them right in the neck, and they've latched on. These guys... Ah! This is just like the snake launcher that those damn American commandos have.
Looks like the Cobras can't take a taste of their own medicine.
Salts! they fall over the side of the railings, and they're still connected on their ropes, so they're just dangling over the side of the atrium. But as they fall over the side, they go, sold separately! And we are up to more Cobra troops. You see, Angela, some more are headed down, and the other one who's rappelled down is now going to take a shot at Tommy. And he completely misses his shot at Tommy. So this guy also raises his laser rifle at you. How do you get out of the way?
Okay, so I'm going to assume, are these laser rifles like a... automatic rifles? Are they shooting multiple laser blasts?
Yeah, they're shooting little...
Okay, cool. So, yeah, so I'm assuming, like, the blasts are, like, coming towards my feet. Mm-hmm. And Tommy, like, basically, like, right next to him, there's, like, a kiosk for, like, sunglasses or something like that. So Tommy, like, as the laser blasts are coming, like, climbs up the front of the kiosk, grabs onto the roof of the kiosk, and, like, pulls himself over the kiosk and, like, pulls the kiosk over, and the laser blasts just, like, go up against the kiosk, so he's, like, behind it, braced.
Yeah, okay, so you've braced yourself behind the kiosk. Angela, the ones who come downstairs try to shoot at you with these lasers, and for the first time, you feel these lasers impact, like, the sort of magical shielding that you have in
yep.
your costume. You have focus your energy on it and just deflect them away. It felt weird. This doesn't feel like you've actually been in the position being in the Bronx. Not only do you moonlight as a magical girl fighting magical opponents, once in a while you have to take on a straight-up violent gang.
Right.
So...
drug gangs.
Yeah, drug gangs, man.
Drug gangs, yeah.
So you've been shot at before. You've deflected bullets before using your magical powers.
Mm-hmm.
This felt weirder than conventional weaponry. You definitely felt something that was attacking your magic specifically.
Mm.
You're not concerned because you reflected it away, but you're aware of it, certainly.
Okay.
And finally, some of them push past. Like, they use that volley of fire to sneak around Angela. So now there are two in front of Angela, two on the other side of Angela, and the one guy who fired at you, Tommy. And it is Jackie's turn.
Well, Jackie dove for cover into the china shop. So he's going to pop back up with one of those very high-end, very polished, very reflective silver trays, which, as we all know, are very useful for deflecting lasers.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Science. So Jackie's going to goad one of those guys into shooting at him, which should not be too hard, given that that's what they're doing, and attempt to bounce that laser either back at the first guy or into one of his comrades to help out Angela and Tommy.
That is so remarkably perfect. They strike against the silver platter. Make your attack roll.
All right. That's just a straight 15. I got 2 and 2 on the dice.
Oh, excellent. That is definitely enough to... How many were you targeting, actually? That's a...
I'd like to try and take out at least 2, so I guess 2 of them would be good.
Lucky
like maybe
move.
Maybe catch 2 of them and bounce them into each other. That's a good shot.
Yeah.
Okay. I know exactly. It's you definitely succeeded. They're the defense of most mook troops in this game is 13. You definitely did enough to take out 2 of them. You're rolling so much better this game. I do want.
Oh yeah, like I haven't completely destroyed myself yet.
Well,
so.
there's still time for that. The laser bounces off of your silver platter and bounces around in the china shop and gets reflected through and prismed out through a crystal tiger that's in the window. And the beams are now surrounding the Cobra troops, and they strike them on the side of their helmets, and that knocks their heads together, and they go down.
Perfect.
So those two are down. There are 3 still up, and it is either Angie or Tommy's turn.
Can I target multiple people?
Yes, you can always target multiple people. It's going to be a -1 for each additional foe that you target.
Okay, so I'm going to do, I'm going to try Chi Blast. Yeah, and I'll target all three. Angela first, like, holds her hand up to the giant winged headset that she has on with its little mouthpiece and is like, Hibiscus, come in.
Yes, Angela.
Hibiscus, their weapons are really weird. See if you can grab one.
I'm on it.
Okay, so while
remember
she's doing...
Remember to believe in yourself.
That's the thing about me, Hibiscus. I believe in myself and everyone, enough for all of us. Then, like, while she's been doing this, she's been pulling out her wand, which has been transformed into the magnifying glass, and she holds it over her other eye, and, like, a narrator voice sounds out above her.
Mm-hmm. Love's all-seeing eye believes in you.
And it, like, an eye lights up on all three of the guys, and then a beam shoots out, directing at them. Boop-a-doop-boop-boo. Oh, double ones.
So what is your primary attack stat, then?
So sorcery.
Well, what's the stat?
Oh, number? 14.
14. So targeting three, that will not be enough.
Okay.
So it strikes like the all-seeing eye of love, which is normally a great finisher for lower level opponents.
Yeah.
It's one of the first attacks that you learned. It strikes their armor and they definitely take the hit, but they raise their guns again. Clearly their armor is designed to resist these attacks.
Since I also go on Battle Angel's initiative turn, mm-hmm. when she throws up that eye in the sky, when that sunglass kiosk spilled over, I like looked to my side, and two of the things that I noticed immediately that spilled out were a bag full of aviator sunglasses and emergency fire extinguisher. Mm-hmm. So what I do, noticing that I still have those little wings on my shoes, is I jump into the air and use the fire extinguisher to kind of propel me, and then I want to toss the bag of sunglasses up into the sky so that it gets hit by like whatever her beam is and bursts open, so like aviator sunglasses kind of like spill out to distract everyone, but I'm only aiming to like rocket towards one guy.
Okay.
But I'm gonna use a fortune point anyway because I haven't used one yet, and I want to.
Also, aviator sunglasses definitely reflect lasers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And now there's going to be just, like, laser reflectors all over the place, so it's going to be harder for them to shoot. So that would be... and this is an improvised weapon, so yeah. It's only a plus two, so it's a 15.
15.
On my martial arts.
That's definitely, like, so you... Ah! And, like, the trail of, carbon or whatever is in...
That white foam
CO2.
Stuff, yeah.
Is, like, spraying out behind you as it does a zoom in on the face of one of the Cobra troops, and it does a zoom in on your face, and you guys like connect head to head. Even with his helmet, your head is harder than his, and he goes down.
I also say that when I hit him like in my forehead, the aviators that I was wearing like shatter in the middle and kind of fall off my head, and I pluck another pair out of the sky and put them back on. So I'm still wearing sunglasses.
I was very concerned about that. All right. The Cobras go. There are only two left. They make their attack. One misses terribly. It's just with the hail of sunglasses, the lasers are going willy-nilly, completely bouncing off course. The other attacks, and he is also just completely whiffing his attacks. Network that you've created of the lasers, it's too much for them to try and not accidentally hit each other while hitting you guys as well.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, it is Jackie's turn.
I'm gonna still be holding the tray. I'm gonna be advancing on one of the guys, and he's gonna be shooting at me, but I'm gonna keep trying to block the lasers with the serving tray. But lasers are hot, so the tray is heating up.
Oh, yeah.
As I'm using it to block until finally it burns my hands. And I drop the tray and shake my hand. The guy's taking a bead on me, but I drop the tray on
yep.
my foot
yep.
and I kick it up into yep. his face to knock him off the balcony.
Nice.
Awesome.
To knock him off the balcony, too. I love that.
Roll it.
Probably in violation of my own no-killing rule.
Right.
No. We're three stories up. He's not going to die.
And also, there's like there was a third guy who rappelled down, so this guy's still connected by the rope. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. So I'm going to try and do that to this guy. I got a 6, so that one I roll again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that a positive or a negative 6?
That's a positive 6.
Oh, good.
And a negative 2. So total, it is a plus 8. So that goes to 23 on my martial arts roll.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
The tray strikes him in the, like, under the chin, and it burns him too. So he's jumping back, being flung back by the force of this attack and just his own reflexes. He goes over the railing, and while he's in the air, your tray also struck the weapon that he was using, this laser weapon. And although it's a very advanced piece of technology, it's also pretty cheaply produced, and it explodes in his hands. And that sends him flying up through the glass ceiling. And it takes out a bunch of other Cobra troops that were upstairs. And, you're left there with the glass sort of raining down around you.
It goes into slow motion, and I kind of run away from where the glass is coming down. And then a big piece of glass comes down and barely misses me. And I do one of these where I'm, like, looking over my shoulder. And you could tell that stunt was real.
All right. So next up in the initiative is Angela and Tommy. There's only one Cobra troop left on this level.
Do you got a good one?
No.
Okay.
Please,
so the way that this has been decorated, it has like each level is themed to different types of industry. So this happens to be just the farming level. So there's like a statue behind him of a bull. I still have my horns, so I'm just like, you mess with the bull, you get the horns. And the horns glow super pink, and it pulls the statue back from behind him, and it smashes down on top of him.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, I'm using a far lift to do that.
Excellent.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Far lift is one of the sorcery shticks that is available to you in Feng Shui. It allows you to move large objects and drop them and move them around.
So that's 24.
24. Perfectly. Like, this guy is, he's raising his rifle. He's been taking his time to aim at you. He's definitely not going to hit any sunglasses or anything. You should just give up, little girl. And as he says that, the bull just comes slamming into the side and actually throws him through the wall. And there's a zoom up on his head, and it's like rolling around, and his eyes are like crossed because you hit him right in the crotch.
Oh, is that what I do? I tend to hit people in the crotch.
Well, that'll happen in when you have a kid in a move action movie.
Yeah, no,
with adults,
that's so. Fair. That's
can
fair.
Can when that ball hits him and he slams against the wall, can the wall that he slams into be a wall that leads into the china shop?
Yes.
All right. So Tommy's gonna like look through the hole in the wall at like this big bull statue in the china shop and like turn to the camera and lower his aviators and go, now I've seen everything.
Oh, my God.
Perfect.
And with that,
there are multiple sunglasses kiosks.
Tommy stuffs his pockets with a couple extra pairs of aviators because he knows that his combat style is going to break some other...
That's every student that comes into your dojo. Where are your sunglasses?
How are you going to fight without sunglasses?
So you guys have defeated all of the soldiers on this level. There is a huge amount of wreckage and debris on the staircase, from the primary staircase to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So the troops are having trouble getting down to you. There are people by the area where the glass ceiling has broken who are trying to get rappelling gear together so they can come down to face you guys. But you have a moment where you've got a reprieve, essentially.
Cool. So I imagine I'm checking in with Hibiscus because he was going to try to get one of those weapons.
Yeah. So Hibiscus is looking at the weapon.
He's hacking it. Yeah.
He's hacking the weapon. And
I remember. remember everything from the first session of this we played, except that you had a talking chipmunk named Hibiscus. I completely forgot about that somehow.
Hibiscus was mentioned briefly as a thing that might happen in, like, one of the...
Yeah, it was, like, one of the...
Like, episode two or
intros.
Something. You were like, well, I imagine eventually she'll get a talking chipmunk
named Hibiscus.
You also
gave him, like, a terrible old, like, Jewish New York coach voice that was like, yeah,
Hibiscus
black and
had
lungs.
had to be recast in the new dub.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because his original voice actor unfortunately succumbed to lung cancer. So
it is delightful. I am endlessly delighted by the presence of Hibiscus.
So Hibiscus looks up at you.
Angela, I found something out. These weapons, they've merged some sort of technology and magic together, and every shot from them weakens magic.
How is that possible? Back in the U.S., magic and technology are opposed to each other.
That's what I always thought they would be. This is challenging everything that I've known in my 2 years of existence as a magical chipmunk.
I relay this information.
So they're using magic and technology together?
This must be more than just a simple drug gang.
Good. I like a challenge. But we gotta worry about how we're getting up to that control center on the top floor.
From where did the Cobra guys rappel down? Did they just come down from the floor immediately above, or were they higher?
Yeah, they were coming down from the floor immediately above, and that's where some of them were coming down from. And the floor right above that is the glass ceiling area that leads to the water park.
Okay, so I would say that since there are three... ropes there. There's three of us.
Oh,
why
yeah.
That's
we take
true.
The stairs.
That's true.
When we can get up these ropes for a more dramatic entrance to the next floor.
Yep.
Awesome. So you guys are climbing up your respective ropes as you hear, like, Cobra troops are starting to push away some of the debris so they can get down to you. And I'm going to say, just make a general roll for this. If something goes disastrously wrong for one of you, I have a plan for it.
I'm plus one.
I'm six in the negative.
Six in the negative?
Ooh, I'm four in the negative. There it is. What's up?
Like, Tommy, you have the middle rope. You're climbing up it, no problem. But Angela and Jackie, like, sort of get on theirs. The three of you guys look at each other and nod, and you start climbing up. And when you're about halfway up... you notice that the grappling hook spring has not deployed perfectly well on the top. Sometimes the spring on this toy just doesn't work right.
Right.
It's never enough to support the weight of your action figure. I can tell you that right now. But your rope starts slipping and you guys, like, it fall down really quickly a little bit, and you're just sort of hanging, dangling from this rope that's not very well supported. Tommy, what do you want to do?
Okay, so how close am I to the top where these ropes are? I'm, like, still about halfway.
You're still, like, about halfway.
Okay, so what Tommy's gonna do is, does Tommy feel pretty secure that his rope is...
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to start basically, like, taking my rope and swinging myself, like, because I'm in the middle of them. And I'm going to swing myself around their two ropes and grab their two ropes. So I'm holding all three ropes, and then I tell them to climb onto my rope.
All right. So, yeah, like, you've swung around, you've got them.
They're all, like, tangled together, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've tangled them together. I'm going to take this from you. You take your sunglasses, you pull them up a little bit, looking down at them, and go, three's company. And you guys start...
Continue to climb,
continue
up,
to climb
yeah.
up the rest of the way.
Okay.
So you guys are on the next floor. You can see there is a contingent of Cobra Commandos that is not, like, paying too much attention to you because they're trying to clear away rubble and debris. And you see right in front of you, like, very clearly through the glass floor, you are one level below the water park now. And you can see the water park has a central spire to it that leads all the way up the building. And in the middle of that is a gorgeously designed freight elevator.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a big freight elevator? Like maybe like 20 people could fit on that freight elevator?
Absolutely. It's one of those gigantic freight
elevators. That kind of freight elevator? Manufactured in Metro City type of freight elevator?
Indeed.
Well, if the guys on this floor aren't paying attention to us when we're like kind of hanging down over the balcony, you know, I'm gonna do a little lift up and peek. And if I notice that they're trying to clear away the rubble, I want to pull myself up, and as one of them bends down to move some rubble, I want to roll over his back into a kick on one of the other guys.
Yeah.
Like a real quick strike.
All right, for that, I am going to reset the shot counter, and I actually remember where everybody was, so that is super easy for me to do. And you are the first up. So you're rolling over this guy, or are you trying to take out two of them at once with this attack?
What I could do is I could roll over the guy's back, kick one, and then have the first guy, as I roll over, kind of grab him around the neck and give him, like, a flip, so that when I land, I can give him one of those things where he like flips over five times in the air and comes down really hard on the ground.
Awesome.
Kick up a little cloud of dust.
Awesome. Okay, yeah, that works perfectly. Roll
and,
that.
This seems tough, so I'm going to use a fortune.
Yeah. What we all know from the last game, Chris so desperately needed in most of his roles was fortune points. And
just better luck.
Yeah. And thankfully, it looks like Feng Shui 2 has provided both of those for him.
Yeah, if somebody was listening, somebody was taking notes on all my awesome ideas that turned out to be earlier. Okay, so here we go. Oh, this one would have actually been really close. I rolled 2 on the negative die and 2 and 1 on the positive dice. So that balances out to a 16 total for martial arts.
16, and that is definitely enough with the negatives imposed by attacking two people at once to take them both out.
Cool.
You've taken them both out, and what do you say as you announce your presence to the Cobra Commandos?
Obviously, I say, Hong Kong police, drop your weapons and give up. Might work. You guys don't know.
Yeah, like, and they sort of turn around, like, they don't have their weapons on them at this point, so they actually look like they're a little bit unsure of what to do. And that will then come to Angela's turn.
Cool.
And Tommy's turn as well.
Since we reset, I think Tommy actually goes before me because he had that one-shot
thing. Oh, that's right. He did
before.
A one-shot action. That's right. Tommy.
Oh, okay, cool. So, when I get to the top, I will, grab the grappling hook and, that we were climbing up with. And on, like, one end, I imagine is a grappling hook, and on the other end is, like, a carabiner clamp that you can, like, clamp it to.
Right.
So I see that these guys don't have any weapons. And I'm like, all right, bring it. And, like, I, the two of them come over to engage me, and I'm, like, spinning the grappling hook around.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, they're punching at me, but, like, I'm dodging punches. And then I want to take the grappling hook and like clip it to take the carabiner and like clip it to one of the guy's belts. And then the other guy, I want to like hook the grappling hook through his, part of his shirt or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they're like fighting me, like I'm in between them, I'll dodge a punch, have one of them punch the other guy out, and I'll like shoulder that guy over the edge. And the other guy like will like freak out, grab his grappling hook, and then fall over after him. I'm going to use a fortune point.
Oh man.
I think that's fun. Ooh, that's exploding. Oh, so it's not so bad. So there's two of them, so it's a negative 2, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't think I hit it. I get a 11. I get an 11.
11 is not enough. Here's exactly what's going to happen. So that actually pretty much does go down as you describe. One falls over, like, the rope starts rapidly unspooling, and the other guy's, like, looking around. He realizes what's going to happen to him, and He is about to fall over when you look down at your leg and you realize that the rope has coiled around your leg too. So you fall over, pulling the other guy over, and you're grabbing onto the railing, and you've got two of these people tied to your leg, dangling on
you. This is actually cool because Tommy has a skill called Accidental Awesome that when he fails a check with an improvised weapon, he gets a free fortune die on his next use of that improvised weapon. So I will be able to like maybe turn this into something good.
Awesome. I love that ability. And let's move on to Angela.
Okay, so since Tommy has been knocked over and we have that rope situation going, I'm going to how many are there now?
There are only four left because there was a small contingent of guys on this level anyway.
Okay, so I want to I guess I'll go for three. I'm going to lift up the ropes, and I'm trying to like shake Tommy loose as I'm going to try to coil the ropes around everything. And as I do this, the ropes are like braiding in and out of each other. And she's like a heartthrob pulls on heartstrings. I'll tie us together with my love. I'm trying to wrap everyone up in a big old bow. So.
Excellent.
Ha 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 ha.
Oh my god.
There's a 25.
Yeah. It's not hard at all. Even with, for targeting all four of the penalties that you would take, it's not a problem at all. Like, you hold up your pinky as you're posing this
and
attack.
You get to see the, but it's not red. It's got to be like a bright pink string that, and then like as I hold it up, you see the string connect like off into the distance and then shoot back and it starts connecting up through everybody's pinky fingers.
And I think you like you have that and you form in your hands a cat's cradle. And that suspends all of them in the air and they're kicking around. They can't do anything. They're completely immobilized.
Yeah, and the strings are tied into like a giant bow. Their heads knock together and then they pop that down on the ground. Yep.
And we'll move on to, because it looks like everybody else has been taken out. Tommy, how do you recover, or how are you trying to recover
from
your precarious...
So they're still tied to me, correct?
They're still tied to you. Well, like, everybody else is being taken care of up there. Your people are still tied to you.
So we think that everything is everything's being taken care of, and then, like, I'm struggling to release my grip, and I'm looking up, and a Cobra soldier with one of those laser rifles, like, aims it right down on me, he says, like, say goodbye, and I reach up with my free hand and like surprise him and grab his weapon and pull the trigger. What I do is I pull the grappling hook function of that gun because every gun has a grappling hook function again, and that grappling hook sails down to hit one of the other guys, or, like hits the other guy on the chest. That action like knocks loose the rope. That was like attached to my foot, and I pull that guy's grappling hook down, and he like goes over the edge as I like kip up over the edge as well.
Awesome.
Oh, okay. So can fortune die explode?
Yeah, fortune die can explode.
Cool. So 10, 11, minus 5, 6, 19, 20. So 20.
20 is the roll. 20 is absolutely enough to accomplish that. You kip up as they all fall, and they hit a big banner display beneath them, and they're like all tangled up in that, swinging back and forth, but not dead, obviously.
Sure,
this
sure,
movie
sure.
is only PG-13.
I like look over the edge as soon as I get up, and I go goodbye. I walk off.
With that, like all of the Cobra troops on this level have been defeated as well. And some of the people who were, like, being detained by Cobra come over. Jackie! Inspector Jackie! And you can see that it's some of the constables on the police force, some of the lower-level recruits. We came in to use the bathroom, and then the shutters came down. Are there any other senior officers here?
No, they're all trapped in the ballroom. It's just us.
All right, Jackie, we'll take care of everybody on this level, but we're obviously not senior enough to take on anybody above.
It's okay. Just make sure these men are processed, and make sure to fill out your reports.
They salute.
Angela pops up in triplicate.
I like point up towards the big freight elevator that we're like heading through the water park. Inspector Jackie, I think our best bet's that freight elevator.
I nod and say, you're right. Let's go.
It's a giant glass freight elevator, right?
It is a massive glass freight elevator.
And it's we have to go through the water park to get there?
You have to go through the water park to get to it.
You know, it seems like it would be rather inconvenient for deliveries. Freight elevator
in the middle.
Fifth floor water park.
Yeah.
It does seem inconvenient for deliveries. In fact, a lot of this building's construction, you notice, doesn't seem to be fitting to take any resources from outside the building whatsoever. It's almost like everything is somehow produced within the building and moves down.
Now, Jackie, as you know, is a treasure hunter in his sideline. So, as the mysterious treasure hunter known as Condor, he has seen a lot of architectures and temples in his time. Is any of the architecture of this building, of the borough building, is it ringing a bell? Is he kind of getting an understanding of how this place works at all?
I'm going to say the china shop that was on the other level is a two-story china shop. And you're sort of like thinking over this when you see a feng shui, you see a feng shui compass on the side, and you realize this building is built perfectly to harmonize with feng shui, which is not altogether odd, because there are lots of buildings that use that to create harmony and decoration all over Hong Kong. However, the support pillars, everything creates a perfect harmonic balance.
They're called Lopan.
Lopan, yeah. Oh, God, of course.
Wait, David Lopan, the reclusive import-export dealer? He hasn't been seen in 10 years.
Some say he's dead, but that can't be true. you notice the Lopan, and you like you also notice like Angela when she says in triplicate, the Lopan starts lazily spinning. There is something very, very odd about the architecture of this building. It's starting to come together for you.
It's all green items in the south.
I turn to Angela and I say, something's wrong here. Something magical. This is beyond my expertise. I'm just a cop slash treasure hunter.
I think I can give it a reading. Hold on. So Angela like pulls her little jacket to the side, and she has a holster, mm-hmm. and she opens it up and pulls out a deck of tarot cards and sits down and starts to read. I'm going to observe chi. So what's going on in this place?
All right.
I roll for observe chi?
You can roll for observe chi. Yeah.
Okay.
Do it. Say.
Boo, 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 boo. No. 15
is fine.
Okay. I don't know.
Most of the skills that they make us bother to write down on your sheets, you're astoundingly good at.
Okay.
And that goes for pretty much every character in Feng Shui. If you have the stat at all, it's probably because you're good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And a base roll will do you fine. So you like are getting the sense that there is something very special about this place. You do the past, present, future reading, and you abstract it out to past. On the ground floor, magic is not weak, but it doesn't have the strength that it has on the ascendant floors, and that the higher you move in this building, the more magic and special this place becomes.
I can tell if it is a feng shui site, and also strong or weak. It's stronger, it goes up. Is it corrupted or impinged upon by an unnatural force?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. You don't know what a feng shui site is.
Yeah, I've never encountered a feng shui site before.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, hold on. My dad's restaurant a feng shui site?
Your dad's restaurant is a feng shui site, but you don't know what that means.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, you Like, you've determined that the higher you go up on this building, the stronger the magic is. But you also tell, it's almost as if something is strangling it or holding it, restraining it in some way.
Okay. It's had, like, okay relationships in the past. That's not too strong friendships, so it's not going to keep them moving forward. And it seems like it's going to have something really, really tense coming up, like a test or something like that. It's not doing well.
Okay. So you guys, I guess, are ready to move up, or?
Yes. We should, armed with this new information, I think we're going to carefully head towards that freight elevator.
So you guys, like, walk up the stairs. You can see there are more Cobra troops that are trying to get to your level, and they're now tussling with the Hong Kong police officers, that are still trapped inside the building. They appear to be pretty evenly matched. Then you guys get to the area where the water park is still being constructed.
Mm-hmm.
You see cardboard boxes of Pepsi that are, like, going to be moved into the kitchen area. You see signature bamboo scaffolding of Hong Kong just in different areas where they're putting up gigantic displays for the water park. You see that there is a car that's on display in the middle of the water park area that will, you know, one day be like a giveaway car.
Sure.
Like, you could win this car. And you see a lot of empty pools that will one day be filled with water, but right now are just sort of concrete bowls in the ground. And of course, milling about and intermingled with all of those is a force of Cobra troops. And you can see walking onto the freight elevator to move up is the Cobra commander himself and your old nemesis, Destro.
I thought we took care of him back in America.
You guys have sort of walked out onto the area in this atrium, ready for combat. Do you do or say anything?
How many Cobra soldiers are there?
There appear to be not quite so many. Like, there are about a dozen in different locations, but a lot of them appear busy. Some of them are combat soldiers, but it looks like most of those have gone on patrol to round up everybody in the building.
I have a plan.
Excellent.
But I need to, there's a very important piece of information that I need to know.
Yes.
Are these Cobra soldiers or Cobra Vipers?
All right. I am going to go ahead and admit that I know less about G.I. Joe than Chris Sims, which I believe is not saying much.
Yeah, looking at his Destro plushie next to his Bulbasaur, it's not terrible.
Let me just ask this guy here if, what's going on. Cobra soldiers have the sort of helmets and the mask, like the balaclava masks.
Mm-hmm.
Cobra Vipers have the full face masks, like Cobra Commander's battle suit, where they've got the mirrored masks.
Okay, I'm going to say, as with all things in feng shui, it is always whatever is most convenient towards the most awesome plan.
Well, this would work. I think it would be more cinematic if they were Cobra soldiers, because what I want to do, we've got empty cardboard boxes of Pepsi.
Pepsi is our sponsor.
Yeah.
we can sneak through, grab one of the guys, knock him out, put either me or Tommy into his uniform, and then either Tommy or me and Angela get into one of these big boxes, and we just wheel right up to the freight elevator with a delivery for Cobra Commander and Destro.
Excellent, excellent.
Yep.
So, to do this silently, I am going to need you to make a martial arts check to take these guys out. It will be at -1 because the stunt is also trying to accomplish something else.
Okay, so I'm going to creep through here. I'm going to actually take one of the bottles of Pepsi. Or cans, whichever one has the better logo for the shot. I'm just going to kind of roll it across the floor to distract one of these guys. And when he comes over to look, I'm going to pop up and give him one of these. You know,
yeah,
quick one too. Oh no, no. Now the bad dice also explode.
Yeah.
Okay, because I got a 1 on the good die and a 6 on the bad die.
Oh no.
So that's a total of -9.
Oh my gosh.
That's a, my total added that to my martial arts skill is going to be a 6, is how I result in that. Minus whatever the penalty was for the other thing.
Ooh, boy. Okay, so not quite good enough to make the disguise plan work. And
is it not quite good enough? That's really surprising.
Yeah, shocking. There is a display of Pepsi bottles that is set up in a gigantic pyramid for what will eventually be a Pepsi fountain, hopefully one of the stables of this water park. Staples. Hey, there's a Pepsi geyser on the hour every hour.
Gross. It's so sticky.
Really, really popular. You tried to punch him, but you rolled out the Pepsi bottle that he was reaching for, and he is a little clumsy, so he actually knocked it forward with his hand. So when you stomped forward to make your punch attack, you stepped on the Pepsi bottle and fell backwards into the gigantic display tower of Pepsi bottles. And they all this place is
a long shot of Pepsi bottles just crashing down.
Crashing
30
down
full seconds
all around you, and this place is right now pure concrete and glass, so that creates the most calamitous echoey noise imaginable. And Cobra Commander and Destro just sort of turn to look at the buffoon who has knocked over.
Hedley, is there another slapstick event happening? I've told you soldiers before, watch your feet!
And they catch eyes with Inspector Jackie.
I just kind of pull myself up in this waist-deep pile of Pepsi cans and bottles. Reach into my jacket, pull out my badge, and go, Hong Kong police, you're all under arrest.
Well, Inspector Jackie. I see you find yourself once again in the Cobra's jaws. This time you will not be so lucky. Destro and I have business on the top floor. But I believe some old friends of yours are here to play with you. Ninjas!
And rising up from the earth, you see ninjas clad in blue, yellow, and green. Ninjas that remind you of some teen ninja street toughs that you faced 2 years ago.
Oh no.
However, their costumes are slightly different. They have the colored masks that are across their mouth like the standard Cobra Troopers. However, they also have pointed shoulders that sort of jut out and colored loincloths on them. They ready themselves in very rigid sort of fight stances. They... a Cobra Commander is behind them and says,
"Finish them!"
And the freight elevator door closes behind him and Destro, who are laughing together in unison.
So, are these ninjas clad in the green, yellow, blue? Okay, great. Yeah.
Are we sleeves, right? Just
yeah,
no sleeves.
Comes out, got it.
As soon as the voice sounds out and the audience's perspective shifts around so that it's looking at us all parallel.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will need you guys to make your initiative.
Oh, cool, cool,
again.
Cool. Yeah, let's do that first.
Well, I got snake eyes. That means something, right?
No, snake eyes does. It's just your flat stat. Which
mine's straight 7.
I also have snake eyes here.
That does mean something. I got a 6.
Okay, so wait.
7.
I got a 7.
7 for me as well.
Okay, perfect. At this time, I believe, is a good time to break for this week, and we'll be back next week. Well, that's it for One Shot this week, heroes. We'll be back next week with more Feng Shui 2. In the meantime, you can check out our guest Chris Sims' new comic, Radical Guardian Skater X, the comic that brings high-action superheroics, skateboarding, and teen problems together. That's available digitally on Comixology, and the first issue is just 99 cents. If you like reading physical comics, you can pick up a copy of Downset Fight, put out by Oni Press, also written by Chris Sims. That's about a football player who got banned from the NFL after beating up a mascot, who decades later must face his past and battle an entire army of mascots across the country. It's fantastic. You can also check out War Rocket Ajax, his comics podcast, co-hosted with Matt Wilson, who is also a friend of the show. You can also check out their other podcast, Movie Fighters, where they watch bad movies and beat them up. You can also listen to him and Jordan White discuss Sailor Moon on Sailor Business, a weekly show where Chris and Jordan discuss the original 200 episodes of the Sailor Moon anime. Finally, you can see his work every day on Comics Alliance. If you liked Chris on the show, don't be shy. Tell him about it. Tweet him at the ISB on Twitter. And while you're there, you can tweet us at OneShotRPG. One Shot is a Peaches and Hot Sauce presentation. Peaches and Hot Sauce is a Chicago-based comedy network with tons of great articles, videos, and podcasts for you to enjoy at peachesandhotsauce.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Be Your Own Pet with Adventure, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.